Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week we review Rango and The Adjustment Bureau. And now here are Mr. Film and Mr. Movie.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film. And this week we start off with a kind of strange little animated film, Rango.
You see them, Mr. Rango? People have to believe in something. Your destiny awaits.
You are going to save us, aren't you?
Count on it, little sister.
Did you see that?
What do you think, Doc?
This hawk is dead.
Circle of life.
Oh, better.
Rango, voiced by Johnny Depp, is a chameleon who has an overactive imagination and yearns for life beyond the confines of his terrarium. When fate gives him the chance to be the hero of his own story, he embraces it with gusto, using his chameleon powers not to change colors, but to blend into a bizarre Wild West town called suitably Dirt, filled with the cutest, fuzziest, and dangerous characters this side of a Looney Tunes cartoon. The result is a crazy quilt of a film that spoofs spaghetti westerns, emphasizes the importance of standing up and being the best you can be, and that you can't turn your back on adventure. And it works really, really well. Director Gore Verbinski, who directed all the Pirates of the Caribbean films, has created a film that is undoubtedly among the best of the year. A surreal romp that never has you asking how fuzzy animals have six shooters, access to their own golf course, or the engineering know-how to build a town in the middle of the desert. It's one of those films to work, you just have to accept and not ask a lot of questions. I know I didn't. I was having too much fun watching this flick and basking in yet another great Johnny Depp performance. This time he was kind of channeling Don Knotts on his best day with the comic panache and self-knowledge that only the very best of cinematic schlubs have. And I also marveled at the lushness of the visuals. This is a beautiful film that really needs to be seen on the big screen to be appreciated. And this isn't just a flick for little kids. As a matter of fact, little kids might be a little terrified. Some of the fuzzy folk are pretty nasty, and there is killing, smoking, and drinking. The film earns its PG rating. But it's older kid-friendly, to be sure. The film works on several levels, just like an old Warner's Looney Tunes cartoon. So the kids will be laughing at the head bonking, at the same time the older folks in the audience will be giggling over the riffs on the spaghetti westerns and other genre benders, including The Wizard of Oz and Cat Ballou. Screenwriter John Logan really deserves a lot of credit here. This is how you write an intelligent, fun, funny script. So-called comedy screenwriters out there, take notes and start doing it right now. No poop jokes, no lame endings, no stupid twists. That's not to say that, to a certain extent, the film isn't predictable. It is. But the way Logan handles the material isn't. It was refreshing watching a film in which all the characters, even the bad ones, had some redeeming qualities. The film, the first from Lucasfilm's ILM, was produced using motion capture technology, with the actors filming their parts and then transformed into various anthropomorphic lizards, bunnies, moles, and insects. And the technology doesn't get in the way of the story. It enhances it. I really think that ILM could give Pixar a run for its money with Rango. I can't wait to see where they go from here and hope that Paramount hits it out of the park with this one and audience just embrace the manic fun world of Rango. I'm giving this an A.
Wow, Mr. Film. An A.
Yeah.
An A.
Yes.
I think you must have been smoking some Charlie Sheen when you saw this movie. I mean, an A?
Yeah, I loved it.
I mean, the setup is cute, okay, but the story is just bizarre and at times incomprehensible.
I like the bizarre.
I know you do. I know you do. And I know you like weird and bizarre, Mr. Film, but it has to be weird for the sake of something. And this is just weird and bizarreness for its own sake. And it just, for me, it didn't really work.
Really?
And Rango is one of these accidental heroes. Every significant thing he achieves is by accident.
Yeah.
Sure, I think that can be played for laughs, but to me, it gets old and tiring quickly. Also, okay. Was this supposed to be a retelling of The Grapes of Wrath or of Mice and Men? Because it reminded me of every terrible book that I was forced to read in high school about the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. And here we go again, Hollywood. At the root of it all is a big bad businessman making his profit by sticking it to the little guy. It's just unoriginal, predictable, and trite. Okay. Now, granted, you mentioned, you know, there are a few action sequences here that are fun and clever, but that's not enough for me to recommend this movie. The humor is at times, you pointed out, very adult, and unless you want to explain to your kids what a prostate is and why one character puts on a latex glove while this line is being said, leave the young ones at home. In the end, I think this movie is just a flood of bad ideas, bizarre situations that don't make sense, adult humor, but with enough action and adventure to not leave you completely bored. It's predictable, and for me, Rango just barely floats by with a passing grade. I'm giving it a C-.
Really? I think that they did do some of. I like the characterizations. What do you think about the animation at the very least? I mean, the technology. Let's just talk a little bit about the technology.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I found it a little bit uneven, and you mentioned that a lot of this was done with motion capture, and I think that explains it, because there are times that it looks a little bit too real to me.
Yeah.
And at times, you know, there are some scenes that are very, very detailed in the animation and they look fantastic. And other scenes, it seemed like they didn't put as much effort into getting that great detail. So it felt a little bit uneven to me.
Okay. All right. What I did like all the jokes. I did like the fact that it worked on a couple different levels. I also liked how they got out of it. And the accidental hero thing doesn't bother me. I mentioned Don Knotts.
That can be funny.
His Universal films, the films he made after he was on TV, they're kind of guilty pleasures for me. I like The Ghost of Mr. Chicken and the one where he's an accidental astronaut. He built his whole career on this kind of accidental hero thing, and they were kind of riffing on that a little bit. And I like that. I think as a comedy, I think it worked. I think if it was a drama, I think not so much, but I think that it is played for laughs. I think it has this kind of surreal sort of self-reflexive sort of thing. And I did like the fact that I think older kids will enjoy, you know, at least the action part of it and the head bonking and the adults. I agree with you that the prostate joke was a little much, but
yeah,
to a certain extent. But I think everything else works really well. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was in a really bad mood when I went to see the film, and it got me in a good mood. So I really, really liked it. I highly recommend it. So.
All right. Well, I'm sticking with my C-, Mr. Phil.
All right. I'm not going to try to change your mind, but I just want to – I wanted to be clear that I think it is a worthwhile picture. I think it's going to give Pixar a run for its money, and I think that's a good thing. So.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. All right. Let's move on to our next review, where Universal Pictures brings us The Adjustment Bureau, starring Matt Damon and Emily Blunt, in an odd mix of romantic thriller and sci-fi.
We are the people who make sure things happen according to plan.
We monitor the entire world.
This is your plan, and we're determined to keep it that way. You bumped into a woman this morning on the bus.
Were you just staring at my legs?
I was defenseless against the dress.
What does that have to do with anything? Your path through the world is supposed to have been adjusted. You weren't ever supposed to see her again.
If you truly love her, just walk away.
Mr. Film, this PG-13 rated movie is a little strange. It starts telling the story of Matt Damon, a politician running for senator, who meets an aloof girl played by Emily Blunt, and she inspires him to be honest and tell it like it is to his constituents, and makes an impactful impression on Damon's career. That alone would have been enough for a movie unto itself, and I really found myself wanting to see how their relationship would develop and how it would affect their lives. So when the sci-fi element of this picture is introduced, it's a little annoying and it feels like it gets in the way of what could have been an interesting romantic drama. But I think if you just go with it and embrace these elements, it turns into a fun ride with interesting themes of determinism versus free will. The sci-fi aspect of this, of course, is that there is an adjustment bureau in the universe that helps set mankind on the right path. It's a preordained plan that the guys upstairs have for us, and their methods are to use their mystical powers to nudge us humans in the right direction so we make the right choices. This is not unlike our own government that nudges us to do the so-called right thing with incentives for buying houses with tax breaks and government mandates for hybrid and electric cars and things like this. Anyway, for some reason, the Adjustment Bureau doesn't have it in the plan for Damon and Blunt to end up together. So when Damon rejects their determinism and fights with every ounce of effort to be with Emily Blunt's character, an aspiring ballerina, the Bureau calls in the higher-ups to set him straight. What follows is a debate on the nature of free will. These adjusters try, a little too hard at times, to convince Damon that he has to follow their plan, or else. On one level, this sets up the conflict and drama, but on another level, it just doesn't totally ring true. If man doesn't have free will, which is what the guys at the Bureau are arguing here, why are they trying so hard to convince Damon of this? What's the use of reason and logic and the purpose of persuasion if everything is determined anyway? And unfortunately, Damon doesn't deliver a zinger line to blow their premise out of the water, which would have and could have made a really great scene and a turning point for the movie. But even without making this explicit, however, the movie does ultimately challenge this premise, and in the end, it feels very much like an Inception meets Gattaca kind of movie. It is ultimately inferior to these two pictures, I think, but I do give it kudos for taking on a universal and interesting theme. I do think the movie would have been more interesting had those sci-fi aspects been tossed out, but that's completely rewriting the premise behind the movie. And if you accept it and go with it, it's a fun ride and a decent sci-fi thriller. I'm giving this a B, Mr. Film.
Now, Mr. Movie, I'm right with you on this one. I agree the relationship between Damon and Blunt is the best part of the film and really deserved much better than the rather convoluted, needlessly complicated supernatural sci-fi frame.
Yeah.
They have real chemistry together, and I hope that some enterprising producer pairs them in a future project that highlights their obvious chemistry. A sophisticated romantic comedy, perhaps? One can only hope. The Adjustment Bureau premise is okay. I like the idea of this invisible hand sort of guiding things. Guy finds out, rebels, and all sorts of mayhem ensues. But you're right. There needed to be a moment where Damon says, "Hey, wait a minute, your whole premise doesn't make sense here. Here's the loophole, and I'm going to exploit it." And there are a few ways the whole Adjustment Bureau fate versus free will conflict could have played out in a more compelling way. Now, typically, I find with these kind of high-concept sci-fi films, the concept is usually pretty interesting, and the story that is dropped in to illustrate it is pretty lame. For instance, Minority Report, which was also, like this film, based on a story by Philip K. Dick. But here we have the opposite. The high concept stuff is sort of a nuisance. I just hated how there were all these explanations and arbitrary rules that they just kept throwing at us, while the love story is pretty good. After I watched the film, I actually read the source material, which is available for free online. And there is sort of in the story, there's this real menace to the Adjustment Bureau. They really are calling the shots here. And they really put the main character on the ropes. Which is a problem they didn't really do in the film. And there's also a more compelling reason why the adjustment team, as it's called in the short story, needed to make the adjustment that they make. It made more sense. There was higher stakes than kind of what is just alluded to here. But, you know, that's a quibble, and the film needs to stand on its own, and it pretty much does. The misfire on the high concept stuff didn't completely derail the film for me. There were a couple of moments where it sort of worked, and the rest of the film was good enough that, like you, I'm going to give it a B as well.
And, you know, I criticized it for not having some of these zingers and whatnot that seem very obvious, but there are a few that Damon delivers and sort of exposes, you know, the workings of this Adjustment Bureau and whatnot that are good and that do kind of carry the picture forward. And,
yeah,
you know, it is interesting that we see this reverse problem that you talked about where the high concept stuff is less interesting than the actual story. And you can really see this in the trailer, too. You know, the beginning of the trailer, if you watch the full trailer online or something, you start off with the story of Damon and Blunt, you know, meeting each other, and they have this scene and it's really interesting. And then they introduce it. And it feels very much like that in the movie, too. And it's kind of like,
yeah,
this odd pairing. So if you were interested by the trailer or enjoyed it or thought it was a little off but still enjoyed it, you know, that's what this movie is like. And so, you know, I'd say recommend it. I think it's a good, you know, sci-fi date kind of movie. And
I think, you know, it really is a good sci-fi date movie. I think there's enough guy stuff with people running around and punching each other, and then the romantic stuff that would interest, the female audience, or people who are both, you know, male or female audience looking for a nice romantic story. So it works that way. And to that extent, I think it's a success, and I think it's worth a go. And we don't get films that get this close to really having that great mix all that often. So I hope it is embraced by audiences and that they give it a shot and just know that it's almost there. It's almost a really great film. It's just an okay, it's just a good film at this point. So
yeah, and if you want to really see the theme here realized, I'd say go rent Gattaca. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
And I think, executes on this perfectly.
Well, and I think the other thing with Gattaca, you talk about that. The one thing with Gattaca that I liked a lot better than this film is that they really put the main characters played by Ethan Hawke really on the ropes. And you really feel like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's really on this high wire throughout the whole, most of, 98% of the picture until the very, very end. And I think that makes it much more kind of, oh my gosh, I hope this guy doesn't get caught up. And then they also have a pretty good romantic story as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we'll be reviewing Battle Los Angeles and Red Riding Hood. And I think we'll have an interesting DVD pick next week, Mr. Film.
I think you're right.
All right, so stay tuned for that.
And as always, visit us online at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have any comments, questions, criticisms, agree with me that Rango is the best picture of the year thus far, send us a line at mail at moviefilmshow.com. And sign up for us at iTunes. Just hit the iTunes button on our website. You can get our shows every week. It's free. And please give us a rating as well. And as you know, Mr. Movie, it's a 5-star show, so we should get a 5-star rating.
Absolutely.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right, I'll see you, Mr. Film. All right. Well, I'm sticking with my C-, Mr. Film.
All right. I was in a really bad mood when I went to see the film. You just have to accept and not ask a lot of questions. He's an accidental astronaut, and it works. The importance of standing up and being the best you can be.
Determinism versus free will.
Circle of life!
There is killing, smoking, and drinking. You can't turn your back on adventure.
Or else.
A surreal romp, anthropomorphic lizards, bunnies, moles, and insects.
I think you must have been smoking some Charlie Sheen when you saw this movie. I was forced to read in high school The Grapes of Wrath or Of Mice and Men. It feels very much like an Inception meets Gattaca kind of movie.
Wait a minute, your whole premise doesn't make sense here.
Oh, better.